بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for his nation. We talked about the life of our master Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, the second caliph. We said that he ruled from the year 13 to the year 23, that he was a very just ruler. He was the best Muslim, the second best Muslim of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned that he had many merits, and we went over a few of those in our classes. We said that during his caliphate, his rulership, the Muslim state expanded beyond Arabia to Northwest Africa and to Persian land. And last time we went over the names and the life, in short, of various people who died during his time, during his caliphate. Today, inshallah, we will mention also short accounts of other people who died during the caliphate of Umar radiyallahu anhu. So one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who died during the caliphate of Umar, was Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal. Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal. And this man is known, famous, because he is the one who was accused of committing zina with Lady Aisha radiallahu anha. We went over that incident before. We said one time Lady Aisha lost her necklace, and she went to look for it, and the caravan left her behind. Then this man Safwan was checking, and then he found Lady Aisha by herself there. So he took her back to Al-Madinah, and the hypocrites in Al-Madinah started spreading rumors that Lady Aisha and Safwan had zina with each other. And Allah, of course, revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah An-Nur her innocence, that she did not commit such an ugly act. So this man was a good man. He was praised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, "Ma alimtu alayhi illa khayra." The Prophet said, "I don't know anything but good about this man." That was a testimony from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was killed during the caliphate of Umar when the Muslims were in fight in the land of Armenia. Armenia is in Asia, close to Russia. So when the Muslims went there, he died as a martyr during that battle in the year 19, in the year 19 Hijri. So he was killed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another man who died, also a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who died during the caliphate of Umar, was Uthman ibn Amir. We know him as otherwise as Abu Quhafa, the father of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. This man, the father of Abu Bakr, did not become Muslim until later, until the day of opening Mecca, which means in the year 8 of Hijrah. So his son was Muslim already, Abu Bakr, in Mecca, while in Mecca. So this man did not become Muslim, although his son was the best Muslim of the nation of Muhammad. He did not become Muslim until later, 8 after Hijrah. So you have 13 years of prophethood in Mecca, and you know, then 8 years more. So he did not become Muslim until like about 20 years after his son became Muslim, Abu Bakr. And you should learn from this, although Abu Bakr was the best of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wife was Muslim, his children Aisha and Asma and Abdul Rahman were Muslim, still the father would not become Muslim. He became Muslim later, about 20 years later. So this should teach us that never give up on a person becoming Muslim. Never give up on a person becoming Muslim. If a person dies, then we cannot do anything for this person. But we should keep on inviting people to Islam, even though sometimes it seems to be unlikely that the person become Muslim. You never know when this, you know, light comes into the heart of the person. I say, I want to become Muslim and become Muslim. You never know. So you just do your best. Invite people to Islam in the correct way, in the best manners. And we know we don't create guidance in the hearts of people. Allah is the one who creates the guidance in the hearts of people. We do show people the correct path, and Allah is the one who creates the guidance in their hearts. So when Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam opened the land, the city of Mecca, in the 8th year of Hijrah, Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, she said that this Abu Quhafa became blind at his late age. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq brought his father to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a long hadith, but in short, when the Prophet saw Abu Bakr bringing his old father, about 90 years old, to the Prophet said, you should have told me, I could have gone to him instead of, you know, be bringing an older man to me, I would have gone to him. The Prophet, of course, at that time was in his late 50s, because the Prophet died in the year 11 at the age of 63. This is the year 8, so 3 years earlier, so about 60 or late 59. So the Prophet, being the Prophet of mercy, being very polite, good manners, he said, You have told me, Abu Bakr, I could have come to him instead of you bringing him to me. So Abu Bakr said, he should come to you because you're the messenger of Allah. He should come to you. I know he's my father, but he should come to you because you are the messenger of Allah. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam passed his blessed hand on the chest of Abu Quhafa, and he told him, become Muslim. Aslim taslam. He told him, become Muslim, you'll be safe. And subhanallah, Abu Quhafa, the father of Abu Bakr, his name is Uthman, he embraced Islam by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he was brought to the Prophet, this of course was an older man, so if they brought him, his hair was not combed, and he had gray hair, a lot of gray hair in the head and his beard. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, غَيِّرُوا هَذَا الشَّيْءُ وَاجْتَنِبُوا السَّوَادُ أَوْ وَجَنِّبُوهُ السَّوَادُ. So the Prophet told them to change the color of his hair, the beard, and he said, but do not dye it in black. So other colors, yellow, red, etc., is allowed for men to do to their hair. But he said, do not do it, do not approach, do dye it in black. So, subhanallah, Abu Quhafa died in the year 14. So he died 6 years after he became Muslim. About 6 years after he became Muslim. And he was at the age of 97. So, a person may just, you know, outwardly say, this person is now 80 years, he's not going to listen to you, he's not going to become Muslim. He's so... now all that, he's just gonna keep his old ways. He's not gonna be stubborn, may not listen to you. And subhanallah, Allah willed for Abu Bakr's father to become Muslim. This of course made his son Abu Bakr very happy that his father died as a Muslim later, of course. Because Abu Bakr, when did he die? He died before his father. Abu Bakr died in the year 13. Abu Quhafa died in the year 14. So he died after his son. Abu Quhafa died after his son Abu Bakr. Any question? We're doing it very short, okay? Just to have an idea. Another companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, known as Ibn Ummi Maktum, the son of Maktum. And people give him two names. People narrate that he had two names, either Amr or Abdullah. Some people know him with the name Amr. Some people know him with the name Abdullah. He is famous as Abdullah ibn Maktum. And this is the man who was blind, and the man because of whom Surah Abasa wa Tawalla was revealed. He became Muslim early in Mecca, and when the Prophet one time was sitting with the leaders of the pagans, the leader of the idol worshippers of Quraysh, and the Prophet was very interested in guiding them into Islam, this man, who was a Muslim at the time, came and he said, "Allimni ya Rasulullah." So while the Prophet was busy, wanted to improve, to invite people to Islam, these leaders of the tribes, this man, this Muslim, came and said, "O Messenger of Allah, teach me about Islam." So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam turned away from him. Okay? And a surah was revealed upon the Prophet, in which the Prophet was mildly reproached in the surah that he should not have turned away from this Muslim and focused on the other ones who will not become Muslim, because Allah knows. So, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't know who's going to become Muslim, who not. So he was doing his utmost effort to invite these people to Islam, the leaders of the tribes. So, whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam later saw this companion, he would welcome him. He said, come, welcome, welcome to the man because of whom I was mildly reproached. That Allah revealed a surah that starts with saying about the incident where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam turned away from him. Now the Prophet did not frown in the face of this man and make him feel unwelcome. First of all, he was blind, so he would not have seen the face of the Prophet if the Prophet had frowned in his face. Secondly, the Prophet did not. He just was very busy with talking with these leaders to make them embrace Islam. This man was already a Muslim, so he could wait until later to learn. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that surah to the Prophet, in which he was reminded that he should not have turned away from this man, and he should have welcomed him better. So, one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that when they went to Al-Madina, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sent Mus'ab ibn Umair. You remember the people of Medina, they came to Mecca, they embraced Islam, met with the Prophet, embraced Islam, went back to their Medina, their city. Then the following year they came with more people and they, you know, paid allegiance to the Prophet. And then later, after 13 years of prophethood, the Prophet emigrated to their city in north of Mecca. So, before the Prophet emigrated, those Muslims in that city, Al-Madina, needed to be taught about Islam. So the Prophet sent one of his companions to teach them. And his name was Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab ibn Umair was, you know, a young man who lived very luxuriously. His family were rich, and still he became Muslim. He would not listen to his, you know, mother who told him, you know, you should not be Muslim. And when he became a Muslim, he became one of the very detached people from the worldly things. He just became simple clothing. He did not worry about, you know, his looks. He became just dedicated to Islam. And he said, so among the first who came to us, to our city, were Mus'ab ibn Umair and the son of Ummi Maktoum, this man, this blind man. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he left Al-Madina, for example, he's going on a campaign, he would appoint this blind man, ibn Ummi Maktoum, taking care of the affairs of the Muslims in Medina. So, and he did this more than 10 times. The Prophet appointed him more than 10 times to take care of the affairs of Muslims there. What did he do? He used to stand as an imam in the masjid of the Prophet, leading the people in prayer. Remember, he was blind. He died during the caliphate of Umar, radiallahu anhu. Another companion, named Qatada ibn Nu'man. He was also from Al-Ansar, from Al-Aws. He was the brother of another companion, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, half-brother. He's his brother from his mother's side. He participated in the Battle of Badr, so he was one among the best Muslims. And Qatada ibn Nu'man, in one of the battles, his eye fell off out of its socket. His eye went out of his socket and was dangling down from the socket. So they wanted to cut it off, you separate it. He said no. They took him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet held this bad eye and put it back where it belonged, and it went back, and Qatada from that point on could not remember which of the two eyes was the, you know, bad eye. He could see well with both eyes equally. So that was one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He died at the age of 65, and Umar radiallahu anhu was one of the caliph, was one of the men who went down into the grave to set Qatada, rahimahullah, in his grave. Another companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was Khalid ibn al-Walid from Quraysh. And his kunya was Abu Sulaiman. Abu Sulaiman. And he was one of the staunch enemies of Muslims. And he was known to be a fierce fighter and shrewd, military leader. And he was the one who attacked the Muslims in Uhud when the archers left their positions. He came with his cavalry to the back of the Muslims and he attacked them, and 70 of the Muslims died as a result of this battle. That was in the year 3 Hijri. And he did not become a Muslim until after Khaybar, before short time, before opening Mecca in the year 8. So he became a Muslim in the year 7. So you could see how long it took him to become Muslim. And he was one of the leaders of the commanders of the armies of the Muslims when they went into Mecca. And he had some skirmishes with some people and he took care of them. Because the Prophet said when they were going into Mecca not to start any fighting, but people attacked him, so he had to defend himself and his army. He went to Mu'tah, the Battle of Mu'tah, with the great companion Zayd ibn al-Haritha. And you remember the Prophet said, if this man dies, then someone takes his place. This one dies, then someone takes place. So when the three that the Prophet named died, they appointed Khalid to lead the Muslim army. And because of his skill, he managed to save the army from being destroyed. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called him at the time Sayfullah, the sword of Allah. Means he was a fighter for the sake of Allah. And he never lost a battle in his life. Even before he was a Muslim, he never lost a battle. In one of the battles, he lost a kufi, if you want, like this, Qalansuwa. And he was very disturbed. He wanted to find it. And he told his people to find it. And after some time, they found it. They looked at that, hat, and they saw that it was like an old hat. It's not like, something expensive. So he told them, just got us busy with such a thing. He told them that in it, he had saved some of the hairs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, once the Prophet made Umrah and he had his hair shaved, I took the hairs from the front part of the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I put it in my qalansuwa, and any time I had a battle, I was always victorious because I had these hairs of the Prophet in my head. So that's why he was very meticulous or very concerned to find them. You remember that he was the commander of the Muslim army during the time of Abu Bakr, until Abu Bakr died, and then Umar relieved him of commanding of the army. But he stayed in the army, although he was removed from the command, and by the will of Allah, they fought the Romans, and they scored a serious victory over the Romans in the Battle of Al-Yarmouk, as we mentioned earlier. One time, they said, some people told him, be careful, the Romans or the Persians may poison you, may just put poison for you. He said, bring me the poison. They gave him the poison, and he drank it, and he wasn't harmed at all. And our scholar said, people should not be taking poison. This was only a karama for Khalid. And the karama, as you already know, is an extraordinary matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make happen with a person who is a follower of the Prophet. And this person who performs such a karama would be a highly ranked Muslim, very obedient. The one who does the obligations, avoid the sins, does a lot of recommended matters. So a wali. So Khalid was one of those awliya. So that was specific to him. It is not for the masses of the Muslims to say, okay, I'm going to drink the poison, it is not going to harm me. Because we are ordered by Allah to take measures. I don't just go into the street and say, cars will not hit me. Okay? So, we take measures. Now, things happen by the will of Allah. Even though sometimes we take precautions, things happen. How many times you would just say, okay, let me just avoid spilling this water, and then you put your hand and then you spill it. Okay? You take measures. So, we are to take precautions. If we get sick, we go to doctors. We try not to get sick by eating well, by avoiding, you know, plagued areas and so on. We rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was very heroic. He had tens of wounds in his body because of the battles that he went through. And he had a famous saying that I went, you know, through so many battles. I was wishing to die as a martyr. And here I am dying on my bed. And he said, فَلَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَا. He said, let the eyes of the coward not sleep. So the cowards, every time, what they don't want to get involved in a battle. They just want to be safe. He said, I went through all these battles. I have those tens of wounds in my body, and I still am dying on my bed. So, فَلَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَا. Let the eyes of the cowards not sleep. They're going to always be worried about their lives. The death will come to them as per the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned in Al-Quran, if a person is in a fortress, and Allah has will for him to die, he will die. Nobody's going to protect him from death. Khalid died in the city of Hims, which is in Syria. And he died in the year 21. Some people say that he died in Al-Madinah. But the saying that is stronger that he died in the city of Hims in Syria. The city is North Syria, close to Lebanon. Another companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam named Usaid ibn al-Hudayr, who was from the tribe of Al-Ashhal, Abdul Ashhal. He was one of the also early Muslims in Al-Madinah. He became Muslim at the hand of Mus'ab ibn Umair. Remember when I said that the Prophet sent a young man to teach people about Islam in Al-Madinah? So Mus'ab ibn Umair was the man who invited this leader of Al-Ansar to Al-Islam. Remember we had Aws and Khazraj. Okay. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam paired up Usaid with Zayd ibn al-Haritha. Remember, Zayd ibn al-Haritha is the young man whom the Prophet raised or adopted. So when the immigrants, the people of Mecca immigrated to Al-Madinah, the Prophet chose one man from the immigrants and one from the Al-Madinah and paired them up. They became brothers like blood brothers. Until sometime, if one of them died, the other one would inherit him, although they were not blood related. Then later Allah revealed canceling this ruling that if they are not related in blood, they cannot inherit each other. So he was paired up with Zayd ibn al-Haritha, who was one of the beloved Sahaba to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usayd was one of those companions who stood firmly during the Battle of Uhud, and he was wounded 7 times. He had 7 injuries because of the battle. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam one time said, "Ni'ma ar-rajulu Usayd ibn Hudayr." Ni'ma ar-rajulu Usayd ibn Hudayr. The Prophet said, "How good a man is Usayd ibn Hudayr." Very nice testimony from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How good a man is Usayd ibn Hudayr. Lady Aisha radiyallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet, she said, "There are 3 people from Al-Ansar who are, nobody got their rank." Means they were the best of Al-Ansar. And she said, all of them are from the tribe of Abdul Ashhal. Abdul Ashhal. She said, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, we mentioned this great companion, one of the leaders of Al-Ansar. Usayd ibn Hudayr, she mentioned the man we're talking about. And Abbad ibn Bishr. She said that those 3 from the same tribe are the best of Al-Ansar, of the companions from Al-Ansar. One of the historians and scholars of Islam mentioned that Usayd ibn Hudayr died in the year 20. In the year 20. When did Umar die? The year 23. So we're talking about people who died during his caliphate. Another companion of the Prophet who died during the caliphate of Umar was Al-Bara ibn Malik, also from Al-Ansar. Al-Bara ibn Malik. He was the brother of Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was from Al-Khazraj. We mentioned him in one of the battles. He was the one who said when they got to an orchard and it had a wall that around the orchard, the enemy were behind the walls. He said, "Throw me to the enemies." He told people, "Throw me over the wall to the enemies." They told him, "You're going to die. I mean, you're just throwing yourself to the enemy." He said, "Throw me." He insisted that they would throw him. So when they threw him to the other side, he fought some of the soldiers of the enemy and managed to open the door for the Muslim army to come and to defeat the enemies. Remember, Musaylimah al-Kadhab, the man who claimed himself a prophet. So they were fighting his army, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the victory to the Muslims because Al-Bara took that chance and opened the door for them. And then later, he killed one of the main leaders of Musaylimah's army named Muhakkam al-Yamama. We mentioned all of these in previous classes. So I'm just reminding you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam one time said, and this hadith is narrated by At-Tirmidhi, he said, "Rubba ash'atha aghbar la yu'bahu lah. Law aqsama 'ala Allah la abarra. Minhum al-Bara ibn Malik." The Prophet said, "Rubba ash'atha aghbara la yu'bahu lah." This hadith has many versions. Rubba ash'atha aghbar, madfu'in bil abwab, etc. Rubba ash'atha aghbara la yu'bahu lah. Law aqsama 'ala Allah la abarra. Minhum al-Bara ibn Malik. So he said, the Prophet, how many men, how many people who would be dusty and their hair would not be combed? Just seemed like unkept. So people look at them, they don't pay attention to them. It's not like they draw their attention. The Prophet said, if such people, they make dua, they ask Allah for something, Allah will fulfill their dua. If they say, oh Allah, give me this, their dua will be fulfilled. And he said, one of those is Al-Bara ibn Malik, the companion that we are talking about. So one day, the Muslim army were fighting the Persians, and they got exposed to the army. So the Muslims told them, O Bara, make dua, ask Allah for something. So he said, O Allah, I ask you that you give us victory over our enemy. And he said, and let me catch up with your prophet. Let me be catch up with your prophet. He means let me meet your prophet. The prophet had died before. So he meant let me die in this battle. So it happened exactly as he wanted, as he asked. The Muslims scored the victory and he died as a martyr in that battle. Okay, one of the names is Al-Jarud ibn al-Mu'alla, and he was the master or the chief of the tribe called Abdul Qais, and this was a very large tribe. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was happy in the year 10 when this man came with his tribe and became a Muslim. The Prophet was very happy that he embraced Islam. So something special about him. He was very good Muslim, was very firm in religion. And Umar ibn al-Khattab sent him to al-Bahrain. Remember when we mentioned that some people apostatized and somebody had to talk to them, brought him back to Islam? Was this man Al-Jarud radiyallahu anhu. He died in the year 21 during the caliphate of Umar radiyallahu anhu. They say he was killed in the Persian land. So it means he was a martyr. Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami is another man, and you must remember his name. He is the man who took the army and walked on the surface of the water, remember? And the enemy got scared to see people walking on the surface of the water. And then, of course, they scored the victory. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam appointed him as a governor on Al-Bahrain. Abu Bakr kept him when he became the ruler. Then Umar kept him also. And he died in the year 14. Some people, they say that he died later. But anyway, he died during the caliphate of Umar. And also, he was one of those whose request, whose supplication is fulfilled for him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another companion who died during the caliphate of Umar was Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas. Al-Abbas was the uncle of the Prophet. So this is his son. So he's a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was the oldest child of Al-Abbas. That's why Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, was known as Abul Fadl al-Abbas. And he was in the army of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he opened Mecca, and he attended the Hajj, the last Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember the hadith that he was riding behind the Prophet, and a beautiful woman came and asked the Prophet questions, and the Prophet noticed that she was looking at his cousin, and his cousin was looking at her, and the Prophet, all he did, he turned his face, the face of his cousin, away from the woman. And when he was asked, the Prophet, why did you do what you did? He said, I saw two young people looking at each other, and I was worried that ash-shaytan would, you know, interfere. It means ash-shaytan would let them look, you know, lustfully at each other. So all he did is he turned the face of his young cousin away from the direction of the woman. And if you remember, this hadith is used as a proof that the woman is not obligated to cover her face, because if she had her face covered, he would not be looking at her. So because he saw her face, then the Prophet turned his the face of his cousin away. So this hadith is one of the hadith that is used as a proof that women are not obligated to cover their faces. If they want to cover their face, that's better. But they're not obligated. They're not sinful if they show their face and cover all of their body. It is mentioned that he died as a martyr in one of the battles during the caliphate of Umar radiallahu anhu. The last one that we're going to talk about today, inshallah, there are other companions who died during the caliphate of Umar, but we chose these people. An-Nu'man ibn Muqarrin al-Muzani. Another companion was An-Nu'man, the son of Muqarrin, and he is from Muzayna, the tribe of Muzayna. If you remember him, he was one of the leaders of the Muslims' army, the Muslim armies, at the battle of that bridge that we mentioned in one of the classes. And if you remember, when Umar was given the news, he asked what happened, and they told him, you know, An-Nu'man ibn Muqarrin was killed, and Umar cried a lot because he loved him. And then at the time, they told him, and many other people who were not important, you don't know. And then Umar said, what would Umar benefit these people if they knew him or he knew them? Allah honored them with martyrdom, so they're not gonna, they don't need Umar to know them. They don't need Umar to know them. He died in the year 21, radiallahu anhu. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So inshallah, we'll stop here. Next week, inshallah, we'll start talking about the third caliph, our master Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu. Barakallahu fikum. So inshallah, this would be our 76th lesson in this history class. You know they are on our website if you want to listen to them. Let's make tahleel and salah ala nabi. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم